The Digital Head Voice podcast is brought to you by MedTech World in collaboration with Digital Health Malta. Welcome to episode number 17. Today, we will be having a bit of a Spanish flavor to our show, or maybe even Catalan flavor, even better, from our friend Dr. Jordi Serrano Pons. Dr. Jordi is a CEO of Universal Doctor, and he's also the co-founder of UDAHealth, Universal Health Digital Access. And he has quite a lot to tell us about the link between climate change or planetary health and digital health. And with that in mind, let's dive deep. Welcome, Jordi! It's such a pleasure to see you here on the 17th episode of the Digital Health Voice. And, you know, it's I miss you, my friend. I miss you. I haven't seen you for a very long time. And I know that you are one of the champions, not only of digital health, but digital health and global health, which really makes you unique as a person. I can't find really other doctors with such entrepreneurial skills as you have, who are focused on both global health and digital health. And it is that which motivated me to have you here with us today. And you've told me a lot about your digital health journey. And I know that you are the CEO of Universal Doctor. And you told me like this very interesting story about a special city, which you should tell me about later in a bit more detail. And also I know that very recently you've set up a new venture called UDAHealth. Am I saying it right, Jordi? UDAHealth? How should I say it?
Thank you. Thank you, Stefan. It's a pleasure to be with you. We also miss you a lot after the pandemic. We hope we can travel each other again, to each other again. I remember some wonderful lunch in or dinners in Geneva, the place of global health. And as you say, no, as you say, we are in love. I'm in love with global health and digital, no? And yeah, I mean, UDA, it's Universal Health Digital Access, UDAHealth. Basically, as we'll explain later, Universal Doctor is the builder of the applications for many years. And now UDA will implement them in a very innovative way, no? And the name is clear, no? Universal Health Digital Access. But then we have to say in a catchy way, UDAHealth. It's better. And in that sense, we're starting to implement the tools, some modular tools in a very specific way. I will explain later.
Yeah. So Jordi, like, let's go back to basics now. And I'm curious about your journey. You know, you told me that you are, by training, you are a family doctor. So what got you started in digital health first? What was that frustration, so to say, that said, okay, that's it. I have to find a solution. Like, tell me all about it. Tell me your story. I'm so curious to hear it again. Well, let's say.
Yeah. No, thank you, Stefan. I was always very, very pressing myself or even others, no colleagues, not to do things, no, at work. And obviously, I was always enthusiastic, no, 2005, 4, 5, 6, to be the one making the anamnesis in multiple languages. I was in love in French, in German. I lived in Germany for a while. So I could do the anamnesis, no, in the emergency room in different languages. But I couldn't do in Arabic. I couldn't do that in Chinese. I couldn't do that in Urdu. So I had some kind of a intention, no, that when I can really save some money, I will go to an engineer and propose them to do a software, no? And finally it happened, and I was actually in UK, being a GP there, and there, without choosing it, they put me in a very small place called Redcap near Newcastle, where there were a lot of refugees from Kosovo, no? And of course, I have no idea of Albanese neither. And then I said, now it's the moment. I went back to Barcelona, and I, with some money, I say, I want to develop a software. I arrive one Friday, I say, this is August, I want that in October. And we develop I had an Excel with me of thousands of questions and some translations. And we developed, you remember, CD.
We remember that for sure.
2006, we did that in a CD flash technology. And it was a boom. It was before the crisis, the first crisis, by the way. And we had the Spanish Medical Association helping us, many pharma companies supporting us. So they put this CD in more than 25,000 books that were delivered to family doctors in Spain.
Wow.
And also in other countries. And it was a boom. Everybody was using our software in a flash version. And then we were quick enough to adapt ourselves into the first iPhone, so Apple Store technology. The first, during some days, we were the first application of iPad, 2010. During 1 week, we were the leaders, no? So, we were quick. And then we've shown along the years the adaptation to any technology, no? Obviously, the crisis came, all this technology about translation. Also, it did not fail, but we start to put the effort in other things. And I moved to Geneva because my dream was to work in global health, also work with WHO if possible, other internationalizations. We kept keeping the door to them. And thanks to other projects, one of them called Zero Mothers Die to reduce maternal mortality. Finally, we started to work with WHO. And then the history is there. We were a company that was based in Geneva, in Barcelona, in Milano, with our colleague, with their colleague, Janine Lemaire, our COO, and in London also. And it was clear that we were in the right place in the right moment. Ebola came, Zika came, and now imagine, no COVID. But before all this big pandemic, other small ones, epidemic came, and we were there. We did the app of WHO for Zika. We have been developing the app of aging called ICOP, Intrinsic Capacity for Older People, for years for WHO, the mental health gap app also. And it's been a nice experience to develop apps with Universal Doctor that became from the translation tool, Universal Doctor Speaker, into a company called Universal Doctor, the digital global health company. A company that worked for WHO, that worked for governments, that work for London School of Tropical Medicine, for AS Global of Barcelona. Finally, now during the pandemic, we have developed the app of Andorra. Right now, I'm in Andorra. We have developed the app of Andorra, the citizens' healthcare app, no, the personal health record app with technologies 2021. And now that the necessity was there, no, we did it quickly, but we have engaged the population a lot, more than in a country of 80,000 people, tiny country, more than 40,000 have downloaded the app. So it's fascinating. Before the pandemic, that was impossible. So this is the history of Universal Doctor. Initial unique product, transformation in a company working for third parties, but always being able to choose the global health institution wanted to work. And now, after all these experiences, we wanted to come back to the startup or one or two maximum products, no? So we decided to launch UDA.
Okay.
And UDA is another history. I can explain it now, yeah.
Yeah, so you really naturally come to my next question because I've seen you evolve, Jordi. So the advantage of knowing you for some time now is that I also got to see you evolve as well. See kind of, I remember some of the early days of Universal Doctor. I don't remember the days of the CD, I have to admit, but I remember the days which were closer to now. And we've met in conferences and I was truly intrigued. So I remember you at conferences, Jordi, and I've seen what you've done as well with UDA Health, and I'd like you to tell me more about it. I mean, because first you mentioned that Universal Doctor was doing the apps, and then you were telling me now that UDA Health is focused on implementation. So what's the bridge between the apps world, so to say, or implementing just apps on their own, and actually taking them out and doing something as amazing as you've done in Andorra. So tell me more about it.
Obviously, the company Universal Doctor is still alive. It will keep flying. We have new people. We have new governments, agreements, contracts. But of course, we are working for these third parties. We love to work with them. But we are doing apps, now a new app for WHO for artificial intelligence in skin recognition for neglected disease. So we're doing all this stuff. And it really reinforces us. It really makes us learning to interact with all kinds of clinicians around the world. But of course, we wanted to be, again, the owners of our solutions, no? And offering also to institutions, individual hospitals, individual clinicians, what? We wanted to give them a couple of tools that are integrated and that also can be the place where to embed other kind of levels, okay? We have developed user monitoring, which is a platform to monitor, no? Patients, older people, younger people, more fit people, more people with diseases. So to follow up, no, with wearables, with different watches, with a platform, a wearable platform, and now introducing also other aspects like we have an agreement to introduce robotics. We have an agreement. So this is user monitoring. But what that makes not are super, super special. There are other companies already doing that. But what we have done is creating other studies. And other studies, it's like there are many apps that can be used. Programs like the REDCap, which is a very traditional program to collect data in research centers, or other CFRs used to do clinical studies, no, in that sense. But we have done a very easy, user-friendly tool to be used by doctors, special family doctors, that have never before done research. And step by step, we do the studies, we are showing them how to do the research. What happens? These other studies, it's embedded in this user monitoring tool. And what are we offering? It's very simple and very catchy. We don't need big budgets for big projects, as many other companies need to survive. We have a tool, a proper product, standardized already. And if you are a family doctor that have only a small budget and you want to have your own app with your own study that can be then implemented, asking questions to patients, like through prompts, patient self-report outcome, or other things. Value-based healthcare. So all that can be bought as a license for as a software as a service in a very low price. And even, as you know, always with our tendency to work with also low income countries, mm-hmm, and with foundations. So we have achieved really a product that can be leveraged, implemented in high income countries with a competitive price, but implemented in many studies. And clinicians can choose or to make the study or to follow up the symptoms or the monitoring aspect of it, the clinician aspect, the clinical aspect. So we have a very competitive tool. And what happened? On top of that, we embed other layers.
Okay.
OODA. And then, of course, as governments know us, as institutions say, hey, we have this tool already. Can you combine that with OODA? And we are implementing it in that sense. And more important, just to finish that, it's not the tools, which it also, of course, you need them, but it's how you implement them. Mm. And we are testing and iterating. We are with a continuous iteration on how to implement, no? Because we have to have a sustainable model. And you know very well as me and many others in this field for many years, the unsustainability of the process of selling this kind of stuff. No money for the final user is not the one who decides to buy it. the administrations, depending on how much is the budget, the tenders that must be introduced, and other interoperability issues with the current software they use, the lack of usage by the final users, final patients, and the lack of willingness to use them until now. Maybe pandemic is changing some things. So all these stoppers, no? We are continuously analyzing how to implement things in a different way. So what we are now making it different and working as a consultancy of our own products, which is different. Yes, so we go to a place and we study how to implement it. We make even a consultancy. And then we make an agreement. And then it's our own tools, obviously always also open to embed via APIs, other solutions. No? So it makes us very powerful, because if you can do an implementation consultancy aspect, if you can have your own tools and you are also open with others, wow, this is the trilogy, no? A trilogy of aspects. And we are now, don't tell anybody, but we are quite happy, because it's not the same to work for others, even if you love what you do, global health, international organizations, all that, that to work for others, but improving your product and your service, which the ones, from my point of view, who will be improving the service continuously will be the ones who will be here in the future, and that we will have the opportunity, no, to keep being in contact with the clinicians, and I hope also even in the future directly with the patients, no, which right now it's not possible most of the time. So this is the new adventure, and we are so happy. And just to finish, yesterday I was talking with a doctor from Galicia, west coast of Spain, to see how we implement the tools. In the morning, somebody in Barcelona. In the afternoon, myself calling proactively to a clinician I know in Rome. And tomorrow, I know it's Saturday, but I'm having a conference with a clinician and a researcher of Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. No? So everybody interested, no, to have this kind of tools, no, and services.
Yeah, Jordi, no moment of rest for you, for sure. But you really struck me when you said, like, that you use your own tools that you've developed in-house, that you also, you know, like, do the talking and reaching out, and you do the discussions, the project meetings, you reach out as well to the customer and get to know them as well. And also, I guess the third part is all the contacts and network that you have to help people solve an unmet need, if anything, because this is like a pain point. Something happens, people get frustrated, and the people that you're working with want to solve it using, let's say, your solutions. And I just want to take this a step further, and I want you to look further than your case studies. So, how does Youda Health fit into the picture, let's say, into the future of digital health and medtech? So let's say 5 to 10 years from now, how do you see like Youda Health grow? How do you see it, you know, becoming even like even contributing more, you know, towards better digital health, higher quality digital health, and if anything, digital health for all? You know, making sure that no one is left behind. How do you see that? How do you fit into the picture?
Well, Youda is born precisely for that. Universal health digital access. Guarantee the access to universal health through digital. Well, in that sense, it's for all. Obviously, the attitude of trying to save the world, if you are not realistic yourself first, it's even dangerous for yourself, for your colleagues, for the. But what we can try to all together, no, to try to secure that the implementation of digital health precisely does not lead to increased inequity, which is already starting to happen. If you are not well equipped with the capacity to do a teleconference, telemedicine, or to understand, or to answer the patient self-report outcomes of your app, or to being follow up, or to participate in a decentralized clinical trial. If you're not able to do that, obviously you are in inferior, no? You are in disadvantage, in a disadvantage in comparison with people that they have to be seen physically by the doctors only, and etc. Which it doesn't mean that we have to foster just the digitization of healthcare and abandoning. On the contrary, we have to reinforce, no, the presence, the physical presence, but digital will have, before the visit, help for the collection of data. It will help for the post-visit moments. It will predict, if possible, many things. So what we are saying is that digitization must reinforce health and should help to transform health in many different aspects. No matter if we look at the picture only, oh, why many entrepreneurs in digital health are not flying? Well, it's easy because hospitals around Europe and in other places, in some places, not all, where public health systems are 90%, hospitals, clinics, family doctors, when they are private in some countries or half private, receive the money from the government by the number of visits done or by the number of processes. Well, you don't have any incentive to develop or to implement a telemedicine or to diminish the re-entry to hospital. So then you are the innovation and nobody pays for it. Not only we have to use digital health to try to break through this catch 22. We must precisely use digital health to prove how processes should be accounted for. You go through all Europe, and in most of hospitals, 5,000 in Europe, in Spain, 800, Italy, I think they are 700 though. You ask for the director of financial, how much it costs you a diabetic patient? They don't know. Grosso, no? They are not processes accounted, no, because the typical clinical history goes by episode of visit, not by process. You're a diabetic person, you should be visit 1, 2, 3, you should have a control in your toes, you should have your feet. I mean, no. So then if you don't follow these processes, you don't know how much it costs your patient. No? So in that sense, if we had that, we would help the system to say, hey guys, we need finally to implement the prevention because it's much, much more cheaper. No? So digital health must be there. And we are very excited to be in these places where doctors can use our monitoring tools for processes or collection of the tools for studies. And we are there. And we are not afraid of something that will happen, of course, which is big. And finally, we are happy for that also, because you remember, Google enters, Google gets away. Whatever Google enters, well, it seems Amazon, it seems other big players are going to help family doctors have less of a headache, for example, in the States with the Epic software, no, writing on it. Well, if that is the case to reduce burnout, welcome Amazon. But there will be always place for stimulating doctors to do studies, to have small niches or small, precisely once solve the emergency things. No? We have to start entering into a new era of prevention and giving in positive, no, carrots to the ones following these preventive measures. And all these people will need other tools, similar companies' tools, monitoring tools, preventive studies tools, etc. And it is amazing how we can contribute, no, very humbly, with humbleness, of course, in this transformation of health. For the first time after the pandemic, I do believe optimistically that it will change healthcare, not because we are all very innovative, especially politicians, but because there is not much money. And basically, it will have to change, yes or yes, if people want to maintain the well-being level that our parents reach, because we are the first generation that maybe we don't reach the same level of well-being. And our sons, if they don't behave properly, if they don't have a wellness, no proper life balance, they will live even less, no? No matter how much medicine of precision in some specific states man, could really take off. And of course, then the inequity would be massive, you know, with people, some population living less than our parents, and some population being almost immortal. So this is nonsense. No? So in that sense, politicians, technicians that take decision on procurement are the ones that should be sent to innovation campus, because these people should be the one. So more or less, this is why UDA, it's super exciting. Of course, as a company, must be sustainable, standardized, software as a service, and on top of that, you give consultancy services that it's a loop to increase our knowledge, our contacts. Don't tell anybody, but we are enjoying, no?
Yes, yeah, so you got me thinking there, Jordi, because I think that procurement in many senses, especially at government level, it has definitely an opportunity for reinvention. And even seeing how to adapt procurement for solutions like software as a service and licensing, with continued licensing, this kind of rethinking that we need to do. And I am sure that the work that you guys are doing will stimulate these discussions and will bring forward the actions that need to be done, like this cascade effect, to go towards procurement models which reflect more of a digital marketplace, so to speak, where you buy the product for a transparent price and transparent requirements, with transparent, you know, like and very clear specifications. But believe it or not, Jordi, despite having such a stimulating conversation with you, because like stimulating seems to be the key word of the conversation, we've come to the end of the video interview and podcast. It's really a pity, but you have 1 minute now, and you have this 1 minute to raise awareness on any topic of your choice. It doesn't have to be healthcare. It can be anything else. It could be climate change. It could be any other topic. Something that you definitely want to raise awareness. You've got 1 minute. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Precisely, not only health, but the health combined with the planet. No, we are now just very involved in what it's called now planetary health. No? And soon, no, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, we will celebrate a big conference in Andorra, no? Planetary Health, International Conference on Planetary Health. And what is planetary health? It's the health of human beings plus the health of ecosystems. And until now, it hadn't been taken into account, but it's very important. Asthmatics trigger more when the weather changes, when the pollution, when a city has more component of NO2, ozone, etc. No? Hair failure increases when I think it would draw. CPOD patients, the contrary, when it's more human. I mean, the interactions between weather, climate change, pollution, and health are clear. Dryness, salinization of the Amazon, increase of allergies, all that, it's an ecosystem that we believe finally must be also digitized properly. And then the whole ecosystem of the digital planetary health, you know, is what we are super excited for. So we are combining our health, learning a lot from the other things. We have to be all involved. It's like if you make a fire inside a hut, or earth, or planet, must be taken care by us now, and not in a negative as terrifying news about, oh, if we do, we don't do that, well, we should be more proactively explaining the benefits, no, of taking the planet as part of our health. And in that sense, planetary health movement is trying to inculcate through research, but also through clever knowledge transfer initiatives. And in that sense, we are super excited, and it must be digital. And from our digital base, we will jump into that. So thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Jordi, I can only imagine having a digital head app or an app which stores my health record. I can definitely imagine, like in the very, very hot day of the summers in Malta, being given a friendly reminder that, listen, apply your sunscreen, be careful. Today is the day, you know, to take extra care, you know, and it could be like gamified even and saying like if you take action today, you're preventing yourself or reducing your risk, you know, of possibly, I'm exaggerating now, of skin cancer, just by taking one simple action today by 10%. Most probably in the future, we'll have better data to come up with these percentages. Maybe right now we don't have all the data in place, but like reimagining, you know, making the links, making the data links, and making the data links with data that already exists. So we're not inventing something totally new. The data's there, and we make the links happen, you know? So you really put a point across, like taking care not of our just our home, our apartment or our house, but also of the planet Earth, which is our really and truly our home. And when we talk about planet Earth, you remind me of my son, Jordi, who is now, his imagination is overflowing, let's say, with the idea of space, planets. And when you hear all of this, you say, wow, we're so small and we have so much to take care of. And with that in mind, Jordi, I'd like to thank you for joining us today and giving us an insight into, you know, global digital head. And I'd like to encourage all of our users to listen to our episode on all of the podcast channels. You can find the Digital Head Voice on any of your podcast tools. And also follow us on our MedTech World channels on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, where you can find the latest episodes and the latest podcasts. Thank you, Jordi. Gracias, amigo.